Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
How's it going over there?
It's good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's been like a busy week. I have a lot to talk about. I don't know.
I'm so excited to hear.
I know. I got all the scoop on the Madonna concert. Don't listen to the post, everyone. I'm gonna tell the truth about what that night was like.
I'm interested because, you know, when we went, she did go on very late, and I was, like, a little furious.
Well, it's a weird thing because it wasn't, you know, I've seen Madonna live many times. I mean, since, like, the first time that I saw her live, I want to say it was in 2001, and that was the Drowned World Tour at Madison Square Garden, and I don't think that she went on late. Like, I think that it was pretty standard. Like, I mean, here's the thing. No one expects, I mean, okay. In general, I guess we're starting. I'll start talking
yeah,
about...
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's do it.
You know, when it says 8:30 showtime, in general, no one expects it to start at 8:30. I feel like Elton John is sort of famous for, like, if it says 8 o'clock, he starts performing at 8 o'clock. So there are certain performers who... But usually there's an opening act. Or
right.
Usually, you know, people are still getting into the venue. Certainly at 8:30, people were still getting into the venue. So I guess I'll kind of start before that, which is that, you know, my friend Eric, who is a huge Madonna fan as well, and in fact does the Celebration podcast, where they've been leading up to the newest concert by going back and looking at her old shows. And they usually would have a guest on, and I was the guest for the Blonde Ambition tour, because that was sort of he sort of came to me and said, like, what tour do you want to do? And I was sort of like, I could really do any of them. And I've seen most of them live from Drowned World on. But, like, you know, Blonde Ambition is how I became a Madonna fan. Like, that's how, like, I'd had love for her since I was a kid. But it really was that tour in August of 1990 that, like, set me on a path to being, like, the Madonna fan that I am now.
Yeah.
So I did that episode, and it was really fun, and it's been fun listening to the other ones. But anyway, so he came into town. It was really cool. He was, like, in town for, like, 30 hours. Like, it was...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a really, really fast trip. So he came in on Tuesday night, and we went and saw... Oh, we went and saw Spamalot.
Fun.
Yeah, this new revival on Broadway, and it was really fun. I had a really, really good time. It's a funny show. I asked if I was allowed to talk about this, and he at first was a little bit hesitant and then was like, no, it's totally out in the open. But so my friend Eric wrote a really, really cool book called The Dancer, and it was, what do you call it? Optioned, I guess is the word, by this woman, Orfeh. She's like a Broadway performer. And I don't know if it was just her or her and her husband, Andy Carl, who's also like a Broadway performer, but they had wanted to do something with it, either make it into a movie or make it into a miniseries. And so basically what's happening right now is they're in the process of making it into a podcast miniseries.
Interesting.
Which is how a lot of, yeah, like that's how Dirty John started. Like, Dirty John was first a podcast before it became a TV miniseries.
Right.
It's just sort of like a less expensive way to put something out into the world and then see what happens with it. But it's going to be, the lead is going to be voiced by Michael Urie, who was the actor from Ugly
sure,
Betty.
Yeah.
Yeah, super, super talented, like, so funny. And I remember seeing him on The View when he was first becoming, like, a thing, and being like, oh, I kind of want to be his friend. Like, he seems like a really, cool, funny. So we actually got to go backstage after the show.
Oh, fun.
It was super, super fun. And it, like, I think that it was, like, the two of us and then four people who he's, like, legitimately friends with. And he was, like, so warm towards both of us. Like, they had never actually met. They'd only met on Zoom meetings. And, of course, I mean, I met him, like, once forever ago, and he did not remember that.
Yeah.
Because it was forever ago. But he was, like, so nice and kind and, like, warm and, like, showed us around and, like, gave us the tour and told, like, funny stories. And so that was really, really fun on Eric's first night in the city. And then the next day was, you know, the Madonna concert, which we had sort of decided, like, well, this is how we'll spend our day. Like, we'll walk from my apartment down to the Upper East Side, where our friend Elise lives, and have a lunch with her. And then we'll head out to Brooklyn, where our friend Jesse works at a restaurant that I've never seen his place of work before.
Oh.
And it was going to be a ton of walking, because then we were going to, like, walk to the concert. And listen, we walked over 12 miles that day.
Damn.
Which was less than I had planned on, only because I had the bright idea of trying out a pair of shoes that I had never worn before.
Oh my God.
But they were like listen, I'm just going to say, they're Reeboks. Like people like play sports in these shoes. I didn't anticipate they would need like a breaking in. Vanya, I understand. I'm going to say this right up front. I understand that women wear high heels and probably experience discomfort unlike anything that I've experienced. When I tell you, but that by the end of the night, I thought my feet were just broken. Like, I was in so much pain by the end of the night. My poor little toes, my right little toe looks monstrous still. Like, a week later, it looks like it should just be removed. Like, it's so, and that's, I'm kind of kidding. Like, it's gotten better, but it was so painful that, like, by the end of the night, I was, like, hobbling along, like, just trying to keep going. So that's
overall, that sucks. Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. That said, the tickets for the show said doors open at 7:30, show starts at 8:30. We knew it wasn't going to start at 8:30. I was kind of like hoping for a 9:30, fine with a 10 o'clock.
Yes.
We ended up getting to the area like 7-ish, and we went to this really cool restaurant called, I think it was called Alchemy, and it's like 2 blocks away from the Barclays Center, which is where this concert was.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crowded. Like, walked in not expecting to be able to get a table, and then actually did. And, like, had a great meal. It was so much fun. Like, it felt, like, very Brooklyn. Felt very, like, not hole in the wall, but kind of-ish.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, got to the venue probably just a little bit after 8, because I knew that I'd be a little bit nervous if we weren't there.
Of course.
Walked around. So here's the thing. The show started at, like, 10:49, which is late. But by no one's mathematics is 3 hours late.
Right.
Like, the worst mathematics you could say is that it was 2 hours and 19 minutes late, which, once again, no one thought it would be 8:30. The show was amazing. It's so, it really is. Like, you know, she's 65 years old.
She's my mom's age. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Wow.
And, like, your mom is very fit and your mom is very active. I cannot imagine to see what Madonna is doing on stage, like, she's moving the entire time. She's not, like, hitting it like she did. And it also feels so belittling to be, like, for a 65-year-old, like, for a me age. Like, I don't think that I could do on stage what she
did for a me age, too.
I mean, the show is fully over 2 hours long.
Wow.
There are moments that are so breathtaking. It really does sort of follow her career. In that, like, we knew that Bob the Drag Queen was going to play some kind of role in it, but we didn't really know what. And what it is that they're kind of, like, they come out and open the show with, like, a 2-minute kind of, like, get the crowd ready. And then it goes right into, like, Madonna taking the stage and performing. And then kind of, like, goes to the beginning of her career, kind of talking about first getting to New York. And uses music early in her career to sort of tell that story. And then, like, I won't give everything away. Like, I hope that it eventually gets a presentation. But this segue that it does into her doing Live to Tell as images of some of her best friends from early New York and before New York who died of AIDS.
Yeah.
And it becomes a tribute to them, and then slowly, like, a tribute to all these people that lost their lives to AIDS. And I was so emotional watching it.
Yeah.
And I could only imagine, like, Madonna's a professional, so she has her shit together. But I can't imagine, like, being her and being on this stage surrounded by images of people that you loved and lost and singing this emotional song and, like, what that must take to get through that.
Oh, my God.
It was really incredible. And, you know, the show, I had a couple notes. Like, there were a couple moments that I was like, oh, I think we could tighten this up. I think there are certain moments that they're kind of still working on. And it's funny that if you go back and watch, like, video, because you can watch a few different Blonde Ambitions. Like, I feel like there's a recording when she was in Japan and there's a recording when she was in Houston, maybe. And you can see that, like, by the time that she did the final show, which is kind of the most famous recording, it's the one most people know, that she'd worked out all the bits.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All the things were in place.
Yeah.
And that's just how it goes. Like, I imagine that, like, you figure things out as you go along. And I'll be curious, you know, I'm seeing her at least one more time when I come to LA.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see how things have progressed. And I also kind of got the feeling that they had to rush towards the end because Barclays has a 1 a.m. curfew. So it had to be over at 1 o'clock. And I don't know this 100% to be true, but it did appear as though, as she was saying, like, thank you, Brooklyn. Good. Like, there was no night, like, the sound was out.
Oh, funny.
Like, I think they were like, and cut the mic, the show is over. And I don't know if that's 100% true or not. That could be apocryphal, but that's what it felt like.
The audio engineer's fired.
Yeah. But it was a blast. I mean, it was an amazing show. You know, it's that thing of like Madonna fans angered over her late entrance. I'm sure there were people that were angry. Like, it's a crowd of like 14,000 people. Someone in there is going to be mad. But I will say that the general feeling of the crowd was nothing but love and respect and admiration. Like, it was it was amazing. It was an amazing show, and I'm excited to see it again.
Cool.
So yeah, that's sort of like that's the main crux of my week. I did get to go see Some Like It Hot on Broadway again last night with our friend Annabelle, because she knows the music contractor who was the music contractor in Six when Annabelle worked on that, and now she's the musical contractor on this and a bunch of other shows. It was, once again, I got to go backstage and like walk around the stage and hear like fun stories and all that.
What does a musical contractor do?
So I guess they hire the band. Guess they like they're in charge of like figuring out like what kind of band is needed and how many people, and then they hire them. And I guess Six was this person's first time doing the job, and now they're kind of like, I mean, the she was rattling off the shows that she's working on, which was very, very cool to hear.
Sweet.
Yeah. So it was fun. And then, you know, had very spicy Mexican food, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, we are just plugging away this week. My daughter had a huge day of dance recital on Sunday. I don't remember what day. I'm in a bit of a fugue state, I think, sure. with it all. But she was wonderful. The dance studios, it is very professional. They did a good job. And actually, talking about from the first performance to the second, they tightened up some of the transitions.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like Madonna would. Yeah, it was really good. But otherwise, I've been, you know, hanging with the kids. And then my husband just got home last night, so I'm finally free. Although today we're going right after this. We're going to I almost said paint. What is it? Decorate gingerbread houses. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Lots of shit going on.
I know. I was honestly just literally Googling last night gluten-free gingerbread house because I kind of want a gingerbread house and I want to be able to eat it.
Because there's not that much. Yeah. I feel like you could definitely use rice flour or something to make it, because you're not leavening. You know, it's pretty like unleavened, right. Or whatever. If I'm using that term correctly, I have no idea. But yes.
It's dense. It's not fluffy.
Mike, you should have that, Mike. I want that for you. But my goal from here on out after this day is just, because the kids have a dentist appointment. I mean, we just are like going. But I'm really going to try not to push anything or spend any more money. Holy shit. But but I have some diggins. I'm excited.
What you digging?
So because it's been so crazy of a week, it's funny because when the Hubs is not home, we can kind of watch a little more of the things. Because I let the kids dictate a little more, you know. So we got on HBO Max and discovered that there's the Studio Ghibli, which is, you know, it Max has a bunch of things. It's like Discovery, I don't know, whatever, because they're merging with whoever. But Studio Ghibli is all of the, like, in my mind, the original anime, sort of where it went kind of viral and crazy. So we watched Spirited Away, which is Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah.
So, no, but I feel like I'm glad that the kids watched. It was a little bit scary for the 6-year-old, but it was so bizarre. Did you watch Spirited Away?
You know, I've never seen it. I just saw his latest and perhaps final. I feel like lately he's been saying like, this is my last one a few times.
I know, yeah.
But I saw The Boy and the Heron in the theaters a couple weeks ago.
I really liked it. I thought it was great. And then on that vein, we were just like going through different, you know, anime-esque type movies. And the next day we watched one called Belle, which is, Amelia just wanted to watch it because it like looked like a pretty singer, you know, whatever. It's a take on Beauty and the Beast, which is fucking crazy. It will blow your mind. It took me a second to get into, it always does for anime for me, to get like sort of like to relax into the world, I guess. Not even the genre, the genre of the world. To kind of like hear everything and like be able to like intake the story. I fully sobbed at the end. I mean, it's a loose adaptation, but it was really good. And, you know, I don't know. I highly recommend it. I thought I was kind of like a little bit in shock about it all, that I was so moved.
Okay.
But, you know, it's the surprising things you do when you sort of are with kids or with people who you have to like, you can't just do what you want to do. You know, if I was doing what I want to do, I'd be ticking off the list of our awards movies. Yeah. But I can't do that right now. So if anybody would like to veer off a path to serious escapism, I would recommend going to, if you have Max, go to the Studio Ghibli and and check some of those out.
All right, I do. I feel like I should at least see Spirited Away because it is sort of, it's his
most full
famous
classic. Yeah. And when I went to the Academy Museum, the first time with the kids, the whole floor was Hayao Miyazaki, and it was incredible. The artwork's amazing. It's beautiful. It's not just, and it is animation, but it's like that he painted it back in 2001. You know, it was not as much technology. So recommend it, Mike. How about you? What are you digging?
Well, the two of the three things that I wanted to bring up are, two of them are things that I've already talked about in the past, but they both wrapped up this week. And I wanted to sort of give like a final shout out. Vanya, you have to keep watching The Gilded Age. Like, you need to finish this season.
Adam's back, so I can.
It is so, I know, I understand, like, I've been reading these, like, I think sort of tongue-in-cheek, quote-unquote, reviews about how, like, The Gilded Age doesn't do at all what you think it should because nothing makes sense in the end. But, like, I don't care. Like, I love it so much. And this finale,
I'm so excited.
This finale was so good. And I will just say, I won't say what storyline it involves. There is a storyline that as it wrapped up, I was smiling so hard, my face hurt.
Really?
But I was just like so ecstatically happy. So,
oh, that's good because I was just in the lost baby thing and, you know, with,
oh, and it gets sadder. Like, oh, it's definitely, well, that was one of the storylines that they were talking about that's so crazy. And this is like mild spoiler alert for the second season, but so-and-so finds out that, you know, has a baby that she found out died and then finds out that it didn't die only to find out that it died. Like, it's that thing.
Oh,
where,
my
like,
God, it's
what
so
is happening?
Messed up.
Like,
yeah.
It's a really weird storyline. And there are a lot of those where you're like, this crazy thing happened, except it happened, but it didn't happen. Like, there's a lot of that happens on the show. And I get it, but like, I don't care. Like, I love it so much. I think it's so joyful.
Mike's like,
every performer, it's so good.
You're like, Gilded Age, you can jerk me around as much as you want. I love it.
I don't mind. As long as it involves Christine Baranski, I'm
yes.
fine. You can do whatever you want.
She's
like,
the best.
It's just so good. And then also, like, Amazing Race just wrapped up this last week too, and I have so much admiration for that show. Like, I just think that what they do is so, I'm really happy for RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm happy for, you know, every show that does the reality thing and does it well and wins an Emmy. And in the end, I just don't think there's any other reality competition show that actually holds a candle to the Amazing Race. Like, what that show does is so impressive to me and so, like, inspiring and interesting. And I just love it. I just love
it.
What
do you watch it on? What streaming service?
So I still pay $1 billion for cable. So I do actually DVR it. But it's on, I'm almost positive that it's on
Peacock? Is it NBC?
It must be Paramount Plus. It's CBS.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it's on Paramount Plus.
Because I tried to watch one on Hulu and I think I was watching an old one. Anyways.
Yeah, I think it must be Paramount Plus. I will say that, like, this is a side note, and I could save this for a thing I could do without, but, like, I'm trying to watch certain Emmy nominees and, like, can't find them anywhere because they're not on. I just feel like it should be easier to watch anything that you want this day and age.
Right? Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Anyways, I digress, because along with the two things that just wrapped up, I will say that I finally watched the first episode of the miniseries Fellow Travelers.
Oh.
I'd been hearing a good amount about it, partly because I don't like calling it a gay sex scene because it's just a sex scene that involves two men, but they're intense. Like, it's very graphic, if that's a selling point for anybody or something that will deter anybody.
I'm in.
Yeah. But I watched the first episode and it's really, really interesting. It's on Showtime. So that was another one that I was like, first of all, I went to watch it on my Showtime app and was like, what? Where did it go? Like, it disappeared off my TV.
What?
And it disappeared off my phone. It's because it doesn't exist anymore because Showtime is part of Paramount Plus now.
Yeah. Right.
So you can just watch it on that. So, you know, it's Matt Bomer and Jonathan Bailey, Allison Williams. It's a good cast.
Cool.
It's very interesting. It's based on a book that I had not read, but it's basically about, it seems to start off in the 80s.
Okay.
As you see this man and his wife and his kids and grandkids, and then it sort of flashes back to the 50s and him meeting a man and starting a relationship with this man. But of course, it's very undercover and behind the scenes because it's the 50s and they both work in government. And it sort of is about, like, the McCarthy and the Red Scare and how, like, that started as a thing about communists, but then did end up being about gay people as well, or anyone that was thought to be un-American. And it's interesting that it sort of tends to, it seems like it's jumping back and forth between the modern setting, which once again, I think is the 80s, and then kind of going back to kind of show how this relationship evolved in the past. It's very interesting. It's very political and definitely is pointing out some things that I wasn't really aware of, but yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I will keep you posted as the journey continues. But Fellow Travelers on Showtime, I'm very intrigued by it.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
So there you go. Anything in particular you could do without this week?
Yes, I watched. Okay, so I love stand up, and I know you do too. But yeah, I am really disappointed that there aren't enough female stand ups because I could watch a stand up special every single night, right? So I went to Netflix, and I went to each one of the platforms, and it's just like all men.
I feel like we had this together too, like
I'm
when
so
I was at
annoyed.
Your place. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I don't. So I guess my solve, because I'm always trying to problem solve, is I guess I'm just going to work on a show and put it together, because I feel like if there's a female, I will watch them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it might be bad. You know what they do have? They have some females where it's like a bunch of comics on one thing. And I'm like, no, I want their own special. I just want them to have one special. And one was a little rough. It was, you know, maybe not the greatest stand-up. But, it was like within a thing. And I was like a Gen Z-er, which is fine. Good. Please make me laugh. But it didn't, and it was fine. But otherwise, because I had watched, and I actually really did enjoy, they're on Netflix, there's a Kevin Hart and Chris Rock there's like a docu-series called Headliners Only, and it was inspiring to me because it talks about how they create their work and how all the things, but you know, all men mostly, and then one woman or maybe two or whatever. And I know that in LA, you know, I follow Largo, and always female comics are coming up on the Instagram or whatever, but I just want more. Like, know that I'm a female, and like, serve me what I want, Netflix. Cause you know, you should know, right? I don't want to see a misogynistic asshole. Not that they all are, obviously. I recently watched the most recent, oh God, what was his name? He's the one who jumped out of a window in Walla Walla, Washington, because he has sleep issues.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea.
Oh, it's amazing. He's Mike Berbiglia has a new one.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked
it. You know,
I've
really always wanted to go back and watch his stuff.
I love a lot of his stuff has been
documented.
Because it's a little bit theatrical. He has, and this is probably more similar to how I would do a show. Maybe a little more, like, not just, like, joke, punchline, joke. I would probably have a little bit of a story, you know, one-man show-esque, which I know, I'm sorry, but I like it. Whatever. So that's what I could do without, though. I just want more females. And I feel like it's a gap in the market, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is an easy. I have a friend out there. Her name's Brittany Ross, and she is every day at a club. You know, give her a show, everyone. I'm putting it out in the universe. Also, I wanted to mention, I didn't mention it, but on my digging, did you see the most recent SNL?
I did.
Oh my gosh.
That was gold from beginning. Even the sketches that didn't really work were so funny.
I loved it so much.
Everything. Kate McKinnon.
Oh my God. Everybody watch it. Sorry, I'm coming out of order, going out of order here, but like, holy shit.
No, it's totally fine. I'm glad you brought it up. It was so good. And like, Billie Eilish,
oh my God,
too.
I love her so much.
She's just like, yeah, her voice is so magnificent.
And that song's going to win, don't you think? That's the song.
I think it's going to win. I think it's going to be tough because I think that all three of the songs that are being nominated will probably be nominated. And I could argue for each of the three of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm Just Ken is hilarious.
Oh, that's true.
And like, so original. I think if anything stands a chance to beat it, it's that one, because that's become such a part of like the zeitgeist.
That's true.
And then like Dua Lipa's song is just like fun and frothy, but also like works so well. And the knowledge that the song wasn't written until after the scene was filmed.
Amazing.
Like, she had to write a song that went with
that's
the
insane.
Scene. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So
it's
like
pretty,
when they
like,
clapped?
That's, she wrote that into the song.
Shut the front
because
door
it was
right
happening
now. You
on
shut
screen.
That front door. What?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it wasn't just her. I know that she co-wrote it with someone, but like, that's still pretty amazing.
Oh my God.
But when it comes down to it, like, if you just like read the lyrics to Billie Eilish's song, and like, it's kind of staggering. Like, the message of that song is so
beautiful.
I mean,
it kills me. I cried when she sang it last night.
I used to float, now I just fall down. I used to know, but I'm not sure now what I was made for. What was I made for? Taking a drive. not so alive. Turns out I'm not real, just something you paid for. What was I made for?
And I'm so happy that she's, it was a good musical guest. I have issues with musical guests. Like, if you want to talk about not digging, Ice Spice, give me a fucking break. Like, I literally I had to go back and look up last night because I was so disappointed in that performance. And I'm like, well, this is something, and you know what? I don't mind being older and not understanding this. This is something that the kids are like, you know, she was on the Barbie thing. You know, she was the one going rapping. She's like, I just fucking can't handle it. Like, and I don't send her any, like, I don't want to hurt her feelings because she's definitely listening to this. But what the fuck? It's the worst. I can't handle it. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah. They definitely sometimes book artists because, like, the kids care about it. And I'm like, that's fine, but the kids must care about some good artists too, right?
Right? I'm just like, and nobody, they're not, I'm sorry, the kids are not watching SNL. I'm sorry, not to be rude, but maybe they are, I don't know.
And, like, you know, we had Billie Eilish, and before that we had Olivia Rodrigo. Like, those are two amazing artists. So, yeah. Like, they're out there. Like, the good artists are also out there. Well, mine is kind of silly, but it's just a note to us.
Okay.
And I suppose to the rest of the world that's listening that, it like, but, like, when we're on The Amazing Race, you know what you don't have to do?
What?
You don't have to tell your cab driver that you're in a race for $1 million. It always strikes me as so weird and tone deaf. Like,
yeah.
Being like, I need you to go faster. We're in a race for $1 million. He's not getting any of that money. He doesn't care that you're in a race for $1 million. It's just a weird thing to bring up.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's weird.
I love
it. I'll send you a check. Like, yeah. It's weird. I didn't really have a topic, but I just kind of wanted to be like, happy holidays. And do you have anything, like, any plans for the holidays that you're looking forward to?
You know, I'm just looking forward to waking up in our own house for the kids. I think that's going to be special this year. And, you know.
You haven't done that in a while, have you?
No. And especially the little one being, he's old enough now to really enjoy it, you know? So. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that. And yeah, that's it. How about you?
Well, just hanging? I'm mostly just hanging. I will definitely, the plan is to hang out with Annabelle, and she's going to make, because she makes really good gluten-free Chinese food. So we're like, well, Chinese food on Christmas. That's kind of a thing
fun
that people do. So we'll just
totally
do it at home. I'm debating whether, because, you know, in the past, other than COVID year, when I stayed home and watched a movie, I usually go to the movies. I usually go and see a movie on Christmas. And it's a tradition that I've really done since, like, Christmas of 1999. Like, it's been a very long-running tradition, but usually it's with my mom. And if it's not with my mom, it's with my friend Kara, who lives in our hometown. And, you know, I obviously won't be with either of them this year. So I don't know. I'm toying with it. I'll keep you posted. Because part of me is like, well, you know, the musical movie of The Color Purple is coming out on Christmas. And I'm
I saw that preview.
Very much looking forward to that. But is that a good idea? Or will I just be a puddle? Like, is that
you might be a puddle. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So I can't decide if it's wise, but I'll keep you posted. And, you know, for the record, those that are listening, like, we are going to be off for a little bit. This is kind of the end of our third season of the show. I don't know that we'll be off very long because I miss this when we don't do it. And I do feel we took a
break enough, you know, for the
we took a break enough, so it might just be a couple of weeks, just like getting through the holidays, and I'm sure we'll be back early in the new year. And then I do have a random thing that I feel like it's sort of a correction that I feel like I need to put out there, and that is that I have on several occasions referred to our dear friend Annabelle as an assistant company manager, and that is not her title.
What is her title?
Her title is associate company manager, which is a very different thing. And it's funny that, like, I think she's corrected me a couple of times, and every time that she says it, I'm like, yeah, that's what I said, assistant.
No.
Like, every time, like, I couldn't even, like, register that she was saying a different word than I was saying.
Oh.
So I do want to put it out there. It's associate, which is
that's
a very
amazing
different job. It's a very big accomplishment, involves taking a very difficult test, which she took and passed.
Wow,
so
girl,
that's
we love
all.
You. Annabelle, you are
we
smart.
We love you. You do a very good
you
job at what you do. So
I love it.
Want to put it in there. Do you have anything random, or should
I do.
We just...
I have a really weird random one. Okay, so, you know, when you turn 45, which I'm not afraid of my age, I'm 45, you're supposed to get the colonoscopy, and I'm like, oh, I really don't want to do that. But I was listening to a podcast, and I got served a ad, and I'm like, I really want to know if this is real. But my random thing is, and if anybody's out there done it, let me know. Apparently, it's called ColoGuard, and it can find colon cancer. It's an altered DNA and blood in your stool. Cologuard detects altered DNA and blood in your stool. So you don't have to get the camera up your butthole and do all the things, because it's like a whole process to go get your colonoscopy. So I'd much rather do that. So if anybody's done it, let me know, because I'd rather send someone my poo-poo and a camera, my butt.
I only know about this because, A, I feel like we just did an unpaid advertisement, because there are so many podcasts that listen to, like, Cologuard, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah, yeah.
And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, I always hear that. But also, like, I see them in my lobby from time to time, and I'm like, oh, someone's doing the Cologuard in my building. I should see how that went for them.
Oh, that's so funny. So, like, poop is waiting for them to be picked up?
Yeah.
Gross.
Yes.
But yeah. I'll do it. I'd rather that than, listen, I don't mind something up the booty. That's fine. But I just don't want to have to not have food or alcohol for whatever it is, you know? And I don't want to get knocked out. Like, it's a whole thing. It ruins your whole day. Like,
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should both do that. We should make a plan to do that.
Let's do it.
Get our shite checked out.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, happy holidays, everyone.
Oh,
and we'll be back.
Holidays.
We'll be back in the new year. I don't think we'll be down for that long. So we'll talk to y'all soon.
Bye.
Bye.
That's so funny.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We will be back.
That was made in 2001 and it won like... Oh, be quiet. It's giving me... Shush. You shush.
You back off.
It's giving me the trailer because I went to IMDb for it.
I know. IMDb needs to calm down in general.
I know. Jesus. What happened?